Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska. This is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Dog Works Radio. It is a beautiful Sunday morning, mid-November. I am hosting from Alaska, as always, and Michelle is in Denver. Michelle, how are you?
I'm great, and we have a beautiful Sunday morning here as well. It's been a little bit cooler. We've finally seen some snow and some precipitation that's been much needed here, but it is a beautiful day today.
It's about 30 degrees here in Willow, and we're hoping for some more snow. We're looking forward to getting the sleds out this week and getting our first teams out running how they should be. I look forward to it.
Yeah, is the snow a little bit late up there this year?
That's not late, but there's just not much here. There's only about 5 inches on the ground, and typically people are excited if they can get on a sled before Thanksgiving.
I see. So what is the agenda for Team Inneke this week?
This week is bumping up to about 14 miles, three teams of 13 at 14 miles, so it'll take about 4.5 hours to run those teams that long. And then after my kennel partners get back at the end of the week, they're enjoying the beautiful sun in Mexico. When they get back, we hope to get the sleds out and take them for the first spin next weekend.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. And at DogWorks Training Center's headquarters down here in Denver, I'd like to let everybody know that we are offering our Thanksgiving Black Friday special beginning this Monday all the way through 4 or 5 p.m. Black Friday. If you call me, I will offer you that special on 8 weeks private obedience lessons at a 30% discount. That is a $500 package for $350. This next couple of weeks only.
You know, Black Friday is one of those things that I've never really understood, how thousands, if not millions, of people run out the day after Thanksgiving, still screwed up on turkey, to go out and shop for things that they don't necessarily need for Christmas.
Screwed up on tryptophan.
L-tryptophan, yes.
You know, and this year the retailers are doing something that they haven't done. They are offering their sales well before Black Friday. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of retailers offering discounts and closeouts and clearances, you know, as early as last week on Christmas items in the stores. As you know, I'm in the mall a lot because of my public access training. And no, I'm not shopping, but I am browsing, and I'm seeing a lot of good deals out there. And that's why we kind of jumped on the bandwagon this year, even though you don't quite understand the Black Friday concept. I don't either, but it's been a tradition in our country that's when you seemingly get the best deals on holiday items.
And it's my understanding that they're going to offer 32-inch TVs for $199 at a lot of retailers. I remember when we first bought our first flat-screen TV, I guess it was about 4 years ago on Black Friday, and we paid $700 for a 32-inch television, and now they're down to $199, according to Yahoo.
That's correct. And you know, that's just because, as you know, with technology, being a technology geek that you are, the more and more it gets popular, the higher the supply and the demand, the lower the cost. And it's also because of the economy. And a lot of economists are saying that the economy is doing well. And honestly, in our business, I'm not seeing that it's doing well. I've seen a drastic influx in the type of clientele that I have. We used to have the majority of our clientele was middle class, and now I am mostly seeing professionals. And they are being very frugal in how they are spending their money, especially on their pets. You know, so we're getting more and more professionals, and I don't think it's necessarily because I am advertising to that group of people. It's just the way that the economy is swinging right now.
So the special that you're offering on Black Friday is 30% off of a $500 eight-lesson program for $350, and you can find out more about that by calling Michelle at 303-578-9881, or you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Blog Talk, wherever you want. Just search Denver Dog Works or Dog Works Radio. Michelle, we do have a guest that is supposed to call in, an author. His name is Mark Poveromo. He wrote a book called To Your Dog's Health. He hasn't called in yet, so we're just going to swing it for a bit, and hopefully he doesn't have any technical difficulties on his end. And until then, what else is going on at Denver Dog Works?
Well, you know, Kyle has been, we rekindled your growl class, and Kyle has been doing a wonderful job with that. I do need to give him much props. Yesterday we had our biggest turnout for that class because we have recommended that class to a handful of clients that we really felt could benefit from it, and for one reason or another, they just hadn't been able to come out to the class. So we were in week three of a four-week series on this class. We did not feel that some of the clients needed a full eight-week or 10-week program like you and I used to do. Kyle and I really felt that they just needed, you know, a few classes and the dogs would be fine, and it was mostly to teach them how to handle their dogs in situations so that their dog didn't feel like they needed to step up and do the job. A lot of these dogs are becoming aggressive because their owners are either not paying attention or just are non-reactive to how their dog is feeling about a certain situation. And as you know, that is usually the first indicator of aggression and how it can become worse.
So for people that are new to the show, who is Kyle?
Kyle is our son. He has been doing a variation of dog training with us since he was about 8 years old. You've had him doing everything from picking up the poop in the kennel and learning the ropes to being on the back of a dog sled and participating in the growl class. He has overseen the training of over 30 board and trained dogs in his lifetime as a dog trainer, but as a certified dog trainer since the age of 16. He has completed 30 board and trains. He has taught over 100 hours teaching classroom time to private clients, and he's doing quite well. And not just because he is our son. We're probably harder on him than we are our other students, but he is doing an exceptional job. He is getting compliments from the clients who know him before he started working with me side by side, but his growl class yesterday was phenomenal. I did get attacked by a boxer, and I am fine. I am bruised and not shaken up, but badly bruised. Took a couple of dog bites, and it was because the owner was not just compulsory but reactionary. Her dog does not take to corrections well at all. He was in a state of fear, and she was not choosing to listen to Kyle. I came on the floor just as she was almost bit in the face as her dog jumped up because she did not react and then overreacted, and he redirected his aggression onto her, and I simply said, let me take him for a few minutes. He knows me, and I said, watch how I handle him. It's going to be a little bit different. I don't want you overreacting to the situation because you missed when you should have reacted. So we're walking in the circle, and lo and behold, her dog reacted again. I stopped. Everyone else stopped that was behind me. I asked the dog to sit. He did not sit as fast as his owner felt he should, who was shadowing me. She slapped him on his butt as he lunged into my arm and bit me, and then he went into an all-out attack on me because she slapped him. So the situation could have been worse. This was a boxer with a lot of lip around his teeth, and I feel that's why I didn't get shredded and I only got bruised, because he was not able to lock on and hold on to a bite. And the dog, you have to understand, he is very sweet, but anytime he feels threatened or cornered, he becomes aggressive even towards humans. I have minimized his human aggression, and we were working on his dog aggression. And, you know, we ended that situation by my son Kyle taking the dog out of the situation altogether. Everybody else was on hold for the moment, and then I gathered my composure and figured out that I had probably a broken finger and at least a sprained wrist out of the situation. And I went over and I recollected the dog, who immediately licked me and, you know, tried to hug on me and things. And he and I went outside. He went to the bathroom. We ran back and forth a little bit to loosen each other up and, you know, de-stress him, brought him back in, and he performed fine for the rest of the class for his owner. I had her utilizing treats instead of the leash and collar combination that she had chosen to use that day.
And you and I debriefed a little bit over text message last night concerning this, and what did we talk about?
Well, we talked about the fact that what I just said, she was overreacting, and this type of dog cannot have a correction whatsoever once he gets into that mode. And I agreed completely, and I tried to let you know without you being there that that's exactly what I had been trying to do. And after you gave me a couple of pointers, I basically handed her a treat, which was something that I had taught her months ago to do with him when she would encounter another dog. And she said, oh, well, I had forgotten about that.
The important thing to remember for people that are dealing with aggressive dogs, primarily dogs that exhibit some type of fear aggression. In my opinion, most aggression has a root of fear. You never want to use what they call positive punishment. Positive punishment is just that, a punishment. When people think of punishment and positive, they think of something that should be good, and that's the absolute wrong answer there. Positive punishment would be, in human terms, a spanking. So that's where you're getting positive, meaning doing something, and then punishment, of course, being a correction. So you never use positive punishment for a dog that is exhibiting aggressive behavior. Michelle?
And that would be absolutely correct in the situation. She had spanked him because she thought, well, I'll get him to listen. He's not listening to Michelle fast enough. And honestly, I didn't care if he sat and it took him a few seconds to sit or not. I was trying to break his concentration and his thought process on what was making him afraid and go back to what he knows how to do. Oh, I know how to sit. She wants me to sit. No problem. I can do that. And he was acknowledging what I was saying, and then crack, he got slapped. He had no idea where that even came from. So, of course, he's going to redirect that onto me. It was not his fault. It was not my fault. And it was, you know, the fault of the owner, yes, but not because she wasn't aware. She was just overreacting. She's very impulsive in her actions. Her dog has been in private lessons with me, has been in Canine Good Citizen for a while, and I won't let her pass because of his aggressive tendencies. Now, he does not react aggressively in that class to the other dogs, but when he's in our other group class where he has come across dogs that were previous clients of yours, he has reacted. And just based on my observations in the other classes that she has attended, I have barred her from taking the CGC test, which, you know, probably isn't my right to do, but in the same aspect, I feel it's my ethical duty to do because, yes, her dog can pass CGC, but I don't feel that he deserves that title as yet.
Well, I don't think he could pass CGC. There is a section in there that says any aggressive dog should not be tested and or passed. So I think you're doing the right thing there. It sounds like you're having, you know, a bit of apples and oranges there. Why is the dog even in a good citizen class if he exhibits aggression?
Because he's been in the CGC class for a little over 12 weeks. And when he had started the class, he had gone through an 8-week obedience program with me that had ended up lasting about 10 weeks. And we had moved him through and progressed, and he had actually excelled. And then he came and stayed with us for a weekend while she had went out of town, and he did fine for me. He never has a aggressive response with just me around or even Kyle. But when the handler is around, he does display aggressive tendencies. It's hard to explain. I don't like to say aggression. He has anxiety on the leash. He never knows how she's going to react or when she's going to react. She has been taught what signs to look for him, but she doesn't always pay attention to those signs. She kind of gets, and in the group situations, I've seen her do it. She kind of gets to talking to the neighbor and, you know, just a little bit absent-minded in personality, and then all of a sudden she'll feel Dugan kind of get up and lean over to another dog, and he's not being aggressive, but she'll correct him for that. And I'll say, why did you correct him? He was just curious as to the other dog. So she never allows him to even interact with another dog in a positive way, let alone in a negative way. He's constantly getting corrected for even thinking about it.
So this has been a profile on aggression on DogWorks Radio. If you have questions about canine aggression, we are some of the best trainers in Denver, and I do offer my services nationwide. You can contact us at 303-578-9881. And Michelle, she's been working with our Growl class for about 3 years now, and it is a class that takes a tremendous amount of effort and time on not only the handler's part and the dog's part, but also the trainer and or behaviorist as well. Michelle, what
That's
else
right.
is going on? Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. And the main goal of our class is, you have to understand, we do not use muzzles. We do not use e-collars, as some of the other so-called aggressive rehabilitators do. We are in the class with the least amount of corrective tools possible. You know, and the other thing is I have to make sure that everyone else in that class is kept safe. And when we have a dog that does what this dog does, and I'm not going to use his name, but it's a dog-on-dog aggression that changes in a snap of a finger to human-dog aggression, and that's what is so highly unpredictable and highly unsafe about this dog. Is dog-on-dog aggression is one thing. That's easy to deal with. Human-dog aggression is one thing. That's not easy to deal with, but you can get through it. It's the dog that goes from dog-on-dog to human-dog aggression that is very, very unpredictable.
Just to let you know, you did let the cat out of the bag and mentioned his name at least once or twice during that interview, but that's okay. That's the power of Blog Talk. You can always rewind if you want to know the dog's name. So, what else, Michelle?
You know, we're just trying to get through the lull of the season. As you are aware, we've been doing dog training for quite some time, and for whatever reason, between Halloween and Christmas, we're always very slow. It makes it difficult on raising a family. But, you know, I encourage people to get out there. If at anything you are thinking that your dog needs some type of activity over the winter months, give us a call. There's lots of specials that we offer other than the Black Friday special that can get you and your dog doing something. It is a good investment to make in your family and in your family lifestyle. Don't just think of it, oh, I'm going to do dog training because it's popular. Dog training can change your life. It can change how you coexist with your animals, but it can also change how you coexist with your family. There's a lot of teaching about communication in our dog training classes, and I've had a lot of families say, you know what, my dog might not have learned a dang thing because he was too hyperactive, or we just didn't do what we were supposed to do, but we learned how to interact better as a family.
And that's exactly right, and that's the key to dog training, is that two-way communication, not only with the dogs, but with the people amongst each other in the family. And I think that when people address dog training, they do it, you know, kind of in a way that they have to fix a problem that's already happened. And the way I like to look at it, especially during this time of year, is a lot of people have family coming over for the holidays, and their dog may or may not exhibit that perfect behavior, perfect guest behavior that you want. And this is a prime time to get them warmed up for the holidays and when Grandma and Aunt Susie come over for dinner.
That's right. Now, I would like to ask if you'd like to take a break and I can give our guests a call, or if you would just like to keep going with our typical show when we end up with somebody that can't call in.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back and hopefully have on Mark Polveromo, the author of To Your Dog's Health. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a career you will love? Do you want to be the best? DogWorks Training Centers has business opportunities in your area. Give us a call at 303-578-9881. We have the best and train the rest.
And we are back on DogWorks Radio. Michelle is currently trying to get our guest on the line, Mark Poveromo, the author of To Your Dog's Health. He may be having some technical difficulties in calling in to our radio show. We do use Blog Talk Radio as a platform, and sometimes there are some issues, especially on a busy weekend day, of being able to call into the show and get into the host queue. So hopefully we can get Mark on in just a couple of minutes, but if we can't, Michelle will call right back in and we'll continue our discussion on Denver Dog Works and canine aggression. As many of you guys know, I am up here in Alaska and Michelle is in Colorado, and we are doing our best to open up a branch up here in Alaska called, of course, Alaska Dog Works. And what we're planning on doing is offering the same exact services in Alaska that we do offer in Colorado. One thing that we're really trying to push up here is our board and train program. From my understanding, there isn't a lot of board and train programs up here in Alaska. There's a lot of in-home classes. There's a lot of Canine Good Citizen. There's quite a few group classes and a few classes for sports and things, and there just isn't that board and train organization up here that we need here in Alaska, and that's what we're trying to do. So Michelle is back on the line. I'm going to bring her right back. Michelle, are
Hi.
You there? Yes.
Yes, I am. Mr. Poveromo has the times wrong. He's not at almost 3 o'clock there. It's only 2:50 in Connecticut. So his publicist had gotten the times a little bit wrong, mostly because she sent them to me before daylight savings time. So he should be calling in any moment.
He is here, and I'm going to bring him up. Mark, are you there?
I am here, Bob. I am so sorry. I'm on Eastern Daylight. It's only 2:40.
Oh, no problem at all. We were covering the show until you called in, so we took a quick break and brought you up, and I appreciate your call. We have on the line Mark Poveromo, the author of To Your Dog's Health. Mark, do you care to introduce yourself, please?
Thank you very much. Yes, I am indeed Mark Poveromo, the author of To Your Dog's Health.
And can you tell us a little bit about the book? Why did you write the book? What is your history with canine nutrition, et cetera?
Absolutely. I'd be honored to. I started getting involved with dog breeding back in 1985 or thereabouts, folks. And my intensity for the love for my dogs just, of course, increased threefold, it seemed, every year. And I just, being a teacher, I was always, of course, trying to get the best out of my students, and just like when I started breeding my dogs, I wanted the best out of my dogs. And unfortunately back then, there wasn't what you would call an overabundance of great dog food, or for that matter, supplements. So I prided myself on providing or trying to find what were the best foods and supplements that were out there, and it turned into a passion of mine. And as luck would have it, in 1988, I was awarded Connecticut Science Teacher of the Year, and I was able to fly out to Jackson Hole and the Grand Tetons and do a two-week field study on the flora and fauna of Yellowstone National Park and, of course, the Grand Tetons. And it's there I just became overwhelmed with desire to learn more about dog nutrition. So I continued my nutrition studies throughout and got a master's in nutrition. And I said, you know what, there's got to be a lot of people out there like me in regards to their dogs, their love for their animals. And I decided, you know, right then and there to basically leave my teaching profession and, believe it or not, open up a dog and cat food store, but not just a normal run-of-the-mill dog and cat food, only providing people with the best of the best and, of course, with an education also. And so that's basically how I got started. And then as time passed, and my customer base built from, you know, $39 a day to now we're recognized as the largest in the entire United States for holistic dog and cat food, people kept saying to me, Mark, you have so much information, you know, you have so much background. You've been doing this so long. You know, you owe it to a lot of people out there and a lot of dogs out there to write it down. So I did. I started to write my book, and about a year and a half later, I submitted it in, and I had a overwhelming positive, if you will, response from the publishing companies, and I went with a great publisher, and here we are. And I'm very honored to say, and I'm telling this to you guys first, I was just ordered to to complete a pilot, and we submitted it in to National Geographic and the Animal Planet, and we're hoping that we can get a series going in the spring. So that's first, you guys are the first ones to know that.
That's great news, Mark. We need some good quality programming like that on those types of channels. You know, these days they filled up those channels with so much stuff that they've even deviated a little bit from kind of, I think, their focus. And it would be great to have on some education for pet owners. We really need that on those two channels.
Well, I appreciate that encouragement. You know, our first the pilot is based upon two unbelievable stories. One, as ironic as it may appear to be, was the first customer of mine owned a Jack Russell Terrier by the name of Lily, and Lily was owned by a wonderful girl by the name of Lisa Walden, and Lisa was a vet tech. And, you know, vets and Mark Povermo, me, we just don't see eye to eye in a lot of things. So for Lisa to approach me after, roughly speaking, about 3 months of 12 or more medications for this poor dog, and nothing seemed to work, it was really, you know, it was a turning point for her, and for that matter for me, to try to persuade this girl that, listen, you know, what we have here is not that big of a deal. I've seen it hundreds, if not thousands of times. We have a simple carbohydrate assimilation problem and a totally suppressed immune system. Do this. Well, as luck would have it, folks, I cured the dog in a matter of a week. She brought the dog back down to her vet boss afterwards and said to the vet, look at Lily. And the vet looked at her in disbelief and says, that's not Lily. What happened? And she basically says, well, I went up to Mark at Thomaston Feed, which is the name of my business, and he straightened out her through a diet and supplementation. He shook his head in disbelief and says, what can I say? So that was a wonderful accomplishment there. And then our second segment to the episode is about a wonderful old English bulldog named Grinder, who was about 7 months old. This poor dog is putting through the mill, and not to mention the owners. They sunk about $4,000 into vet bills, and nothing worked. The dog had hives. No matter what the dog ate, from, I'll mention, wellness on down to veterinary prescribed food, nothing worked for the dog. So as luck would have it, they found out about me and they came and saw me. And I told the owners, I said, within 72 hours, you'll have a new puppy if you do what I tell you. And the couple was, of course, very, very skeptical about that because they have heard a lot of promises from the vets and everybody else who tried to sell them dog food and things like that, where I tried to give them an education. So they were very skeptical. And to make a long story short, 48 hours later, not even 72, the dog was like a new dog. They, to this day, come into the store and give me a hug and say, you saved our puppy. Thank you very much. So that's what the pilot was all about. And it was pretty well received, I'm very happy to say. So I'm really hopeful that we can continue this because, just like you said, there really is a need for an educational yet informative and enjoyable pilot or program out there, especially when it comes to our beloved best friends.
I totally agree. We are talking to Mark Povermo, the author of To Your Dog's Health. And just to let our listeners know who may be listening live, if you download our show in the future, a lot of those clicks and things you are hearing will even themselves out. Since we are recording live over Skype, a lot of times that interference will dissipate as we're talking. So I apologize if our listeners are hearing any of that, but that will dissipate in the uploaded version later on. Mark, I have to say, I got your book, I don't know, about a month or so ago from your publicist. It is a beautiful book. It's a very quick read. I guess you can purchase it right through Amazon. Can you get it at other places as well?
Oh, absolutely. You can get it at Borders. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it, of course, through my store. That goes without saying. And, of course, obviously, Amazon, plus many, many other places.
Sure. And like I said, it's a very quick read, but it's also a very informational book that a lot of people would like to have around if they're interested in canine nutrition and what to feed their dogs. And I do want to say we've had on quite a few people over the last couple of years that have talked about dog food and the raw versus, you know, commercial diets, things like that. And you've done it a little bit different. You've taken things and broken them down in ways that a layperson can really understand. It's not necessarily a scientific journal that you're reading. It's more of a book that somebody would sit down, if they had a question, you really answer those questions in your book. Is that not right?
You know, you did such a wonderful job describing what I had hoped to accomplish. Yes, you know, being a teacher, I taught high school physics and environmental science for 18 years. And, you know, over the years, of course, you have to work on your teaching skills. It's not like how you have to try to impress people or impress these kids with how much the teacher knows. It's being able to get the point across so that they can understand it. And I tried to do that with my book. And, you know, I've read every book out there in regards to dog nutrition and things like that. There's a couple of really nice ones, by the way. But when I read them all, of course, I was, of course, able, thank God, to understand even the most technical jargon that they use. But I said, you know what? I want to create my book so that it is like a reference guide, a very easy reference guide that people can open up to and say, okay, I'm in my local store, and, gee, you know, he recommends this supplement for, God forbid, my dog with diabetes or whatever the case, and they can go up to the owner of the store or the employee and say, listen, I'm looking for this. And if they don't find it, well, you know, obviously they can look somewhere else. So that's exactly how I intended on writing the book, and I very much appreciate you saying that.
You are welcome. And, you know, the my favorite part are your little hints in the dog paws. I think that is a great way to really pull out certain sections that you really want to hit on with your readers. Do you care to share a couple of those?
Oh, I'd be honored. Once again, I want to tell you a little funny story about that. When you look at my book, of course, hopefully you'll be taken by the beautiful pictures.
Yes.
The picture on the front of the cover is a picture of a dog named Holly. Holly was a, believe it or not, a bait dog for dog fighting in New York City. As luck would have it, this wonderful, wonderful couple rescued her. They basically lived in New York City, of course, and they got wind of this crazy guy, me, who lived in Connecticut, not too far away, that seemed to have the touch when it came to nutrition. And that's how they described me. That's not how I describe myself. So they came and saw me, and I said, yes, I can help you. And, you know, I proceeded to treat Holly like I treat my dogs. And obviously the end result is she's on the cover of my book. Now, the really funny part about that is that, well, how did she get on the cover of my book? Well, as luck would have it, I had just completed a seminar for a local rescue organization, and I got a very, very nice return call the following day, and quite a few of the people had said, geez, Mark, you know, I learned so much, yada, 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 great time, thank you so very much. I said, oh, my pleasure, and as luck would have it, the owner of Holly, Dean, happened to walk in the store at that very moment. It was like godsend. God just sent them to me at that time. And he was listening to me and kind of looking at me and kind of like disbelief. And I ended up getting off the phone. He looked at me and he says, Mark, are you going to write a book? And I says, well, you know, my wife is pestering me. My kids are pestering me. I'm thinking about it. He goes, well, I want to help you. So I looked at him and I says, well, geez, Dean, you know, thank you very much. What do you do? He goes, well, I'm a photographer. And I says, really? And he goes, yes. He says, check out my website. So, of course, I check out his website, and this guy and his wife are the photographers of all the movie stars.
Oh, yeah.
Schwarzenegger, Angelina Jolie, Bradley Cooper, oh, my God, on and on. So I'm looking at his website, and I'm saying, this guy, you're way out of my league. I just can't. He goes, no. I want to do this for you because you saved my dog. So all those pictures are done by professional photographers Everhart and it's the name of the company is Bleacher and Everhart. So as luck would have it, you know, I got those done and everything, and he says, listen, you know, I want you to talk to this great layout designer, And it was like just a domino effect. So I met this wonderful layout designer, and she goes, Mark, I really think, you know, each chapter should have a point of interest. And I says, well, you know, I was thinking maybe like a little hint, a helpful hint. So she goes, oh, my God, what a wonderful idea. So she laid it out just the way it is. So it's really laid out nicely. And I don't know if you noticed, but in each chapter, the hint corresponds to content in the chapter.
Sure,
for
sure.
For example, I'll Have Mine Raw is a chapter, of course, on Epley, of course, a raw diet. And, you know, a lot of people to this day still come in and say, hey, Mark, you know, I want to change my dogs over to the raw diet. What do you think? And how do I do it? Well, in my little hint blog, if you will, it says, listen, you can change over to your raw diet very quickly. Obviously, a trick of the trade is that I've learned over the many years is initially, and, of course, the key word there is initially, you can warm the food up temporarily, either by boiling it, by steaming it, what have you. A lot of people like nuking it, but whatever. I mean, I'm not a big proponent of that, but that's okay. And what that actually does is that accelerates the molecules, the calcium molecules in the raw diet. And when calcium becomes accelerated or warmed, it becomes more of an ionic mineral, which is more of an attractive mineral than anyone can ever possibly imagine. And what that actually does is it attracts the excessive liquids that your dog has in its intestinal tract because of this rapid change of diet. So people can go right onto the raw literally overnight with absolutely no gastric disturbance at all, and the dog defecates normally, half the amount, but normally. So I tried to do that with each chapter so that people could say, okay, what's this chapter basically about? Oh, here's the hint. And I hopefully
right.
it came across that way.
And you did. And probably one of my favorite hints in there, and it touches on the one you just mentioned, was heating up the food for the olfactory senses of the dog. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, once again, I mean, dogs, unlike us, you know, we have 20,000, give or take, taste buds on our tongue. You know, a dog has about 1,200. So, you know, dogs don't really taste very much, albeit that's why you'll go out and see a dog eat a dead squirrel out in the middle of the road. As gross as it is, it's a point. It's a fact. The dog uses its nose, pure and simple. And when we change dogs over from dry food to raw food, of course, the dry food is salted, it's sugared, whatever the case may be. They use natural flavorings, and natural flavoring might sound good, but when you really look into or delve into the meaning of natural flavors, they can actually use MSG or ammoniated glycerin. And ammoniated glycerin is sweetened urine. Not to get disgusting, but that's the truth. So when these dogs smell that dry food, of course, oh, smells good, you know, I'm going to eat it. Now all of a sudden you put this raw food that basically, of course, is served cold for all intents and purposes, and they look at it and they say, well, what is it? You know, I don't have the smell like I did from this other food. So what I give people as a hint is warm it up. Get that smell going for the dog, because once that dog picks up on it, it's all over. He or she is hooked. And it tends to work very, very well.
And I am a big proponent of doing that. And in all of the years I've been feeding dogs, I've fed them everything from raw to dry to all different types of supplements. But with that, I have a couple of questions for you, Mark. Like I said, we have a lot of listeners on our show that cover the spectrum in terms of owning dogs, everything from your average pet owner to Iditarod mushers. So with that, my first question is the matter of convenience. And I know in your book you talk a lot about preparation and buying particular ingredients for particular ailments such as cancer and diabetes and kidney problems and things like that. What about that? In our society, it is a very quick-moving society. We want to get it one and done, as they say.
Exactly.
We're a society that goes to McDonald's because we don't want to cook at home. We're a society that eats TV dinners because we don't want to fry the chicken in the pan on the stove. So what about that with dogs? You know, it's so easy to grab a one cup container and pour a couple of cups in a bowl and you're done. So what about that in regards to your book and the way that you should educate owners on how dogs should eat?
You know, I love that old saying. I've heard it a couple of times, one and done. And I live in the state capital of one and done, Connecticut.
Right.
We are go, go, go all the time. You know, yeah, we're very blessed to have a wealthier state and things like that. But, you know, even more so here, we're always working, we're always trying to make ends meet and so on and so forth. And I realize this, of course, especially with the many pet owners that I'm blessed with having as customers or clients, that, you know, they really do want what's best for the dog, but sometimes they just don't have the time. And unfortunately, over the years, talking about Raw in this regard, you know, most people look at Raw saying, okay, I have to go to the grocery store, I have to get this, I have to do that, and I have to blend this, and I have to blend that. And you know what? In the past, that was apropos. It was definitely the correct, you know, if you will, assumption. Now we have these great companies out there that are making a complete and balanced diet. And it's very fortunate. So now we can basically get the food out of the freezer, if you will, take enough out to last your dog for a week's time, leave it in a glass bowl inside your refrigerator, what have you. You know, every morning, open up the refrigerator, grab the raw food, put your scoop in or scoop and a half or what have you, and voila. You got basically the same one-and-done mentality, but you're going 10 steps better than that because you're doing it in raw. So thank God we're seeing these development and really perfectionism, if you will, of these raw food companies creating a marvelous, marvelous alternative to the bag dry diets.
So with that, Mark, what about cost? A premium dog food, you know, top of the line, probably cost you about $1 to $1.25 a pound. What are we talking about with a premium raw diet or a diet that you propose in your book, such as going out and making these particular things? In particular, the one that catches my eye is the one on cancer, and you have several diets that you line out there with the, you know, with the chicken and the beans and all this sorts of stuff. What is the average cost of a pound of food in your system?
Okay, well, once again, raw being in so many different, if you will, varieties, and let's put it this way, a lot of people look at raw, I want to use it as a supplement, I want to use it as a full meal, and so on. So you can run anywhere in regards to a raw diet from, say, $2.50 a pound to, believe it or not, you know, $5, $6, $7 a pound. It all depends upon what you're looking for. Now, does that $7 a pound raw food, is it three times better, give or take, than that $2.50? Absolutely not. It all has to do, of course, with protein sources and, you know, of course, the other ingredients. A lot of food companies out there are now using, in the raw diet, of course, I'm referring to, the organic vegetables, the organic fruits. Oh, my God, wonderful. Great, great. But, of course, that, you know, more than amplifies the cost dramatically. But we, I mean, this is what I do and I've been doing for the last 21 years. I am always in constant communication with the manufacturers and, for that matter, companies that, you know, want to get in. They're contacting me and saying, hey, you know, what do you think of this? So I am able to find these kind of small companies out there that people never even heard of. And that's what I did in my book. I put these relatively unknown raw food companies that are out there that people, and I let people know, listen, you know, here's an alternative and it's cost effective. I'm going to mention a name. I'm not getting, of course, any kind of reimbursement for it, but it's just a wonderful company that people really need to look into, and it's more towards your neck of the woods. It's out in Green Bay, Wisconsin, a great company called Vital Essentials. Now, here's a company that provides a large percentage of the food to all of the continental zoos, so they have a wonderful, wonderful reputation, rock steady. Their ingredients are top-notch, and more importantly, really cost-effective. I mean, they have a raw food called their carnivore blend that people can buy for a dollar, roughly speaking, $1.80 a pound. My God, you pay more than that in some of these grain-free dry foods. So,
right,
you know,
right.
People don't realize this, but there are alternatives out there than to your $4, $5, $6 a pound raw diets that people are normally used to. And that's what I tried to do with the book, check into this company.
And you cover quite a few of the companies. And one of the things that you do that a lot of people that's on kind of the supplement, you know, bandwagon, so to speak, you actually cover the commercial brands and which ones are better than others. And I found that refreshing that you just weren't talking about your own blend, but what other people can buy literally right off the shelves in other stores, whether it be, you know, your gourmet pet food shop, so to speak, or some other large retailers. I don't know if you know, some of the big box stores sell some of these guys like PetSmart and Petco, but you have covered quite a few of those companies in a way that most people don't, that cover, you know, a particular diet for a particular dog.
Well, you know, thank you. And I purposely did that for several reasons. Number one is that, you know, I want to, before I reiterate, though, about in regards to that statement, I was not reimbursed. I was not paid for any kind of endorsement whatsoever from any of these food companies. I did this not to help people out. I did it for the dogs, to be perfectly honest with you. And, of course, you know, thank God the owners of the dogs who are conscientious, those are the people that, are going to go that extra route and look for the products that I recommended. And it's over, of course, 20 years of experience, you know, 16 years of, you know, graduate or I should say college education and then some. So it's not more, you know, it's not like I'm trying to do it to promote business just to my products or my store. It's for people all over the country to say, hey, listen, this is what I need to look for. Where can I get it? And hopefully they're going to go to the small independent stores in the country and say, look, this is what I'm looking for. Can you get it for me? And they can very easily. You know, a lot of people always say, oh, PetSmart, Petco, and things like that. They're not an influence or a deterrent to me whatsoever. Quite the contrary. They bring more business to me than I can ever begin to explain to you. So, I mean, I'm not trying to take business away from the superstores at all either. It's just that they have a regimen that they have to follow based upon, of course, their stock people and, you know, people who own stock in their company, where the small independents, we're there hopefully about all about the dog's health. We don't care about stock options and things like that. It has nothing to do with us. We're there for the animal. So what I did is, once again, mention these common names of products that they can find based upon my 20-something years of experience and education so that everybody can benefit. And, of course, the most important, of course, are beloved dogs.
That's exactly right. And as I mentioned a little while ago, we have quite a few dog sledders or mushers listening to our show. And we're a group of people that consider ourselves experts in nutrition. And the reason being is we have to get the optimum calorie versus output of our dogs, probably more than any other dog owner in the world. And the reason being is our dogs have to pull literally 1,000 miles in a week or two. And the way that we do that is we feed our dogs about 10,000 calories a day. And if you think about that, to our listeners that are listening, how much 10,000 calories is just on a human diet, that's like eating four super value meals at McDonald's every day would be 10,000 calories, I would assume. And the way that we do it, Mark, is we do a combination of raw and dry kibble. And, for example, in our feeding regimen, we use raw beef, raw fish, canola oil, salmon oil, hot water, and then dry kibble. And we mix that all together, and I like to call it gruel. It becomes a very soupy mixture in order to get that 10,000-calorie mark for these performance sled dogs. So I think a lot of mushers understand the concept that you're talking about. What do you think about the average pet owner that is trying to mix up something in their, you know, in their kitchen, and they may not be doing it right? And my question to you is we had a client a couple of years ago at our dog training school that fed a primarily meat diet. And what she did when she brought our dogs to us is she brought, in one hand, you know, 25 pounds of beef. And in her other hand, she brought in 25 pounds of chicken. And she says, I want you to feed my dog this in the morning and this in the afternoon. And by the way, I need you to take all of these pill bottles and mix all this other stuff in it together so that the dog can have the supplements, you know, the vitamins, et cetera, because it was just a protein diet. So what do you think about the mad scientists, so to speak, of people in their kitchen just trying to throw things together to give their dogs an appropriate diet but may not be the right thing for the dog? Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Hey, every now and then the phone glitches and it's like I lose you temporarily.
Okay.
So I just wanted to make sure we're still on. Yeah,
yes.
I mean, I do admire that. I really do when people try to do what's best. But, you know, people need to realize that the dog's intestinal tract kind of really dictates what he or she can handle. Now, we have this discussion all the time, and the fact needs to be made that, you know, a dog can utilize maybe, and I'll be very, very generous, 10% dietary carbs in their diet, okay? Most of these dry foods that are out there, I don't need to tell you, you know, 45, 50, 55% carbs. Obviously, what's happening with those? Well, you know, other than the obvious coming out the back end, it's also doing a job on them. It really is, whether it be their immune system and what have you. So it's kind of like a trickle-down effect. But when these people do that, and I hear this, like I say, all this time, you know, I want to start adding raw to my dry dog food or my canned dog food. And I'm very upfront and say to them, listen, you know, anytime you add a raw diet into your dog's regimen or your cat's regimen of feeding, it's a home run. When you feed it by itself, it's a grand slam. But you have to make sure the dog is getting the vitamin and minerals, or for that matter, the cat, of course, the vitamins and minerals that dog or cat needs for a complete and balanced diet. Thankfully, like I said earlier, there are a lot of raw food companies that are providing that. But people that think they could just add, like, the raw meat and things like that, hey, you know, God bless, they're giving their dogs some high digestible protein and things like that, but they're really missing the mark big time.
So in your opinion, Mark, what about, the instinctual aspects or the ancestral aspects of a dog and those dogs only eating meat? Think about the prototypical wolf pack in the wild running around, you know, taking down the deer, so to speak, and only eating the protein. How have we changed that the dogs need all of this other stuff?
Well, they really don't. That's the thing. You know, I'm sure people know the difference between a wolf and a dog is about 1%. The DNA
right.
is virtually identical. All right? The same digestive tract of a dog is in a wolf and vice versa and all that. The thing is, when a wolf or when a, for that matter, a feral dog or a coyote or a fox or what have you, goes out and makes the kill, who's the first ones that get to eat? The alphas, right? The
right.
alpha male, the alpha female. What will they go for? 90% studies have been done. There's a great company out there called Canine Food. It's just absolutely, it's a marvelous, marvelous freeze-dried diet. It'll blow everybody's mind when they find this food. If you can find it, check it out. You'll be happy you did. They did extensive studies on wolves, and what they basically said is through all of their studies, 90% of the time, when the wolf, the alpha male, the alpha female made the kill, the first thing they did, they ripped open the stomach, and of course, they ate some of the pre-digested, obviously, carbs that were in that prey animal stomach. Then they immediately went for the organ meat. So what we see now is these great small raw food companies that are recreating these diets somewhat similar to this. Now, there is one company, as I mentioned earlier, and I hate to keep saying that about them. I'm not a spokesman for them, but I really do love what they stand for. This Vital Essentials, they've created a raw diet called the Alpha Diet. It is 99% meat and offal and bone and what have you. And what they did is they put 1% organic seaweed and kelp to comply with the AAFCO standard of, you know, 26 vitamins and minerals, give or take. Wonderful. Now, you know, you and I know that a dog does not necessarily need 26 vitamins and minerals every day to survive. Of course, if that was indeed the case, you know, these wolves and everything else aren't getting that either, okay? Quite the contrary. But to comply with, of course, minimum standards to be able to sell their food, they do what they need to do. But despite that, 99% meat, 1% seaweed and kelp, as close to that 100% raw diet that the wolves eat as you'll find. Absolutely fantastic. So there are some good companies out there.
What about the person that says, not for my fluffy dog? My fluffy dog needs the best canned, you know, like you see on the commercials, in the crystal jars, and you got the cute fluffy little dog on the kitchen counter, you know, more typical of a cat. What about those types of pet owners? Does this help those guys out in any way?
Well, I mean, where do we start on that one? I mean, usually when we hear about, and I'm going to say this in 100% all honesty, most of the problems I have at my store are people that are coming down that are saying, listen, my dog's having an issue with this or my dog's having an issue with that. But in my top three is my dog is finicky and won't eat. And 90% of them are the small little dogs, you know,
right. Your
terriers, your chihuahuas, your poodles and so on, your bichons and so on and so forth. When I turn them on to the raw food that I've been talking to you guys about, I mean, 95% of the time, and that is not an over-exaggeration, these young dogs, these small dogs go absolutely crazy for it because they are carnivores. They still are, despite being pint-sized, they are still carnivores, and they love the meat. So, yes, I mean, we do see a lot of people say, oh, my God, raw meat. All the bacteria, all of this, all of that. Well, you know, they need to be educated because there's bacteria in dry food also. Matter of fact, there's been more recalls on dry food because of salmonella and things like that than on raw food. So, you know, it's an educational process, and that's what I hope I did in my book, as well, of course, just like anything else, hopefully in my upcoming show.
I look forward to your show, and we will promote it as much as we possibly can. And Mark, we have about 3 minutes left. What do you want to end with?
Well, I love talking with you guys. I thank you very much for this opportunity to speak to hopefully all of your customers out there. I appreciate their time. I want them to know, just like anything else, you know, your hearts are in the right places. Everyone wants to do what's best for their dogs and their cats and, you know, their best friends. And I realize in these very hard times, the economic times that is, that, you know, a lot of people say, you know, I just can't afford it. Well, before they make that determining statement or they believe or they try to figure out if it is indeed the case or not the case, they really need to do some research. Go to your independent places. Say, listen, I'm looking for these different foods that are out there. I think they're going to be very pleasantly surprised to say, oh, my God, for what I'm paying for my food that I'm giving my dog now, I can give him something 10 times better for basically the same price. No, I'm not going to lie, maybe sometimes a little bit more expensive. But the amount of money they will save on not having to go to the vets, okay, and the overall health and disposition of the dog, you can't put a price tag on that. And that's, I think, one of the most important things that people need to realize.
And that's great stuff. You're listening to the Dog Works Radio Show, and our guest is Mark Poveromo. His book is called To Your Dog's Health. You can purchase it right through Amazon and after tomorrow right here on the Blog Talk Radio page on Dog Works Radio. Mark, it's been a pleasure. We're running out of time. Sorry about the little glitch in the middle there not getting you called in, but it was a pleasure.
Thank you so very much. And have a great Thanksgiving, folks.
Thank you very much. Mark Poveromo, To Your Dog's Health. Michelle, are you still there?
I am still here.
Do you have anything to close with?
You know, I think that this is an excellent book. I'm going to talk with Mark after the show and talk to him about getting his website or getting some information from him. I have a lot of clients that do therapy, and they are being restricted on feeding their dogs raw diets because of salmonella, cross-contamination and things, and I'm interested in asking him a few questions about that. And I know that our show, we probably could have asked him that if we had had the entire hour, but because we were strapped for time, I'll just ask him after the show.
Very good. Mark Poveromo, To Your Dog's Health. This is Robert Forto for Michelle Forto. This is Dog Works Radio. Listen to us next week. We're having on Jason Barron and his book, The Ballad of the Northland. Talk to you soon. Never forget your dreams. Goodbye.
Thank you.